Hello, my name is Fernanda Orsi. I'm a physician and hematologist here in Brazil. I work in a university hostel in the southeast of Brazil, a city called Campinas. And I'm here today with Dr. Guillermo Quintero from Bogotá, Colombia. Please, Dr. Quintero, introduce yourself.
Fernanda, it's a pleasure to be here with you. I'm Guillermo Quintero from Bogotá, Fundación Santa Fe de Bogotá, Universidad de los Andes. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Nice to see you again. So we are here now to talk about the treatment of PTT in our region in South America. So here in Brazil, as a patient come with acute TTP, and it's the first episode of TTP, it's very hard to distinguish whether this patient has a congenital or immune-mediated TTP. So we start treating the patient as a acquired TTP is largely more common than congenital TTP. We start treating the patient from the very beginning, treating this patient with a immunosuppressant. And here we use corticosteroids and rituximab and also plasma exchange. And it's, as I said, we do have ADAMTS13 testing, but this test takes like 7 days to the results take 7 days to arrive, so we cannot rely on this test to start a treatment. And STTP is a very, very severe condition. We prefer to start treatment as at the moment that we suspect of the disease. So that's what we do here. And unfortunately, we don't have enough tools to distinguish between acquired and genetic TTP when the patient first present with the disease. And we assume this patient has an acquired TTP because of the prevalence of this type of TTP. And we treat the patient as an acquired TTP. So later on, during the follow-up, if we think the patient has a congenital TTP, and how do we suspect that? We usually suspect congenital TTP when a patient has a recurrent TTP episodes, or the patient, some patients, they respond very quickly to the transfusion of plasma. So in this case, then when a patient presents with stroke or recurrent stroke, in these patients, we suspect of congenital TTP. And what we do in the following TTP episodes, we try to treat these patients with plasma transfusion only, with fresh frozen plasma transfusion. And we check whether or not this patient is going to respond to the treatment. If the patient responds to fresh frozen plasma transfusion alone, without immunosuppressants, without plasma exchange, we assume this patient has a congenital TTP, but unfortunately, we cannot confirm the diagnosis by genetic tests. We do have now a ADAMTS13 activity and ADAMTS13 antibodies testing. And for some patients from like 2 years now, we can test for the antibodies. And if the antibodies are negative, it's another evidence that this patient may have a congenital TTP. But in the first episode, the first time the patient arrives in our hospital, we are not capable of distinguishing between congenital and acquired TTP, and we assume this patient has a acquired TTP and treat as a immunomediated disease. And I just want to know if there's the same in Colombia, or if you have any other algorithm to distinguish between congenital and acquired TTP.
Fernanda, in Colombia, we don't have too much experience, or in our group, we have too much experience with congenital. 95% of the patients are immune-mediated TTP. For these reasons, we treat all patients as immune-mediated. And in this direction, we start with plasma exchange and transfusion of plasma. We use corticosteroids also to try to diminish the amount of antibodies. And in our center, since more or less 10 years ago, we adopt rituximab from the beginning. It has shown to reduce the hospitalization time, the reduce the relapse of the disease. And now that we have a new medication, caplacizumab, we use it when the case, the diagnosis is suspected. The time from the suspicion of TTP to receive the treatment is very important. We need to reduce this time. And for this reason, we take the for measure around 13, and we start immediately, or in 1 hour, 2 hours, the plasma exchange and transfusion of fresh frozen plasma. It's not easy for us to, I agree with you, if the patient only with plasma improved, maybe is as a congenital. If it's have more recurrence, maybe it's a congenital, but as I mentioned before, we don't have experience with congenital because I personally don't have any diagnosis of congenital TTP. We need to improve the awareness, and we need to for early diagnosis, but it's important to take in mind that we need to start treatment without the result of 13. It's a mistake if we wait for the results to treat the patient can get sicker and sicker, and maybe a fatal outcome if we don't make the treatment when you must.
Yeah, I agree with you that the only decision that we have to make as far as the patient has a suspicion of TTP is to treat the patient, because delaying the treatment may worsen the prognosis and even increase the risk of death. So we don't have to think much. If you have a clinical suspicion and plasmic score points to a possible diagnosis of TTP, the best to do is to start treatment. And here we also start plasma exchange and rituximab upfront. We don't wait the patient to relapse or to exacerbate to start with rituximab. We start upfront too. But what we do not have here is caplacizumab. Although caplacizumab is approved in Brazil, it's not covered by the insurance, the health insurance, and it's not covered by the public health system. And how is that in Colombia? Do you have access to caplacizumab?
For the treatment of our patients in Colombia with immune-mediated TTP, last year, caplacizumab was approved. And that means that everybody in Colombia who has been diagnosed with ITTP can get access to the medication. But in practice, it's not for everybody, because some hospitals don't have resources to keep, to pay their medications, to have the medications. I think almost 50% of the institutions can be able to give the medication to the patient. But theoretically, everybody who needs the medication can get access to it.
Good. But to use caplacizumab, it's also important to perform more ADAMTS tracking testing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So can you do that? But do you do that with the support of the industry, or is it possible to do that without the support?
It is possible without the support, but it takes almost 1 week for the result. With the industry support for diagnosis, I have a patient in 24 hours, we have the diagnosis. It's not impossible now to have a correct diagnosis quickly, but the doctor must act quickly, the system must act quickly, the lab must act quickly, because we need to take the sample before any measure, before plasma transfusion. It's very important to take the sample before, not after, because the result can be can be an error, a mistake. Without the support of the industry, it was very, 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 very difficult.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think for me, it's I can understand that we start treating with rituximab and plasma exchange even before we confirm the diagnosis. We confirm the diagnosis with the laboratory testing, but it's impossible to start caplacizumab without confirming this diagnosis with a laboratory test. So, and it's the same in Brazil. The industry support is very important, both to the diagnosis and to the treatment. Unfortunately, here in Brazil, if an industry gives a patient a treatment and this treatment is successful, then the industry has to finish the treatment. The industry cannot take away the treatments by law. Yeah, so that's why it's so hard here to provide a testing treatment to see if it works or not, because if it works, the industry has to continue paying for this treatment till the patient fully recovers. And what is also interesting is that, you know, I've seen some new RCTs, some new trials. They are like they are recruiting patients, but there are new trials that are aimed to treat patients without plasma exchange. So I've seen trials that use caplacizumab without plasma exchange, and also there are trials using recombinant ADAMTS13. And I believe this is gonna be a revolution for TTP treatment if we can in the future stop doing plasma exchange, because plasma exchange is very effective, but it has a lot of adverse outcomes, that like infections and thromboses and plasma reactions. So it will be really interesting to be able someday in the future to withdraw plasma exchange from this treatment, isn't it?
Yes, it's a very important data from Austria. I heard it 1 year ago. This trial was very interesting. Without plasma exchange, you can get inclusive better results than with plasma exchange, and then a caplacizumab. Is very, very interesting. And because not all places in Colombia had access to plasma exchange. Only the big hospitals can do it. And it's more easy to apply the medication than make the plasma exchange.
Yeah, that's the same here in Brazil. There's plasma exchange is available just in few hospitals, few reference hospitals. Most of the hospitals are not capable of performing a plasma exchange therapy. So the patient stays in these hospitals for like days receiving plasma transfusion until the patient is referred to a central hospital. But do you think we are prepared here in South America to receive these new treatments, to receive caplacizumab, to prescribe caplacizumab or to prescribe recombinant ADAMTS13 for our patients. Do you think we are ready for these new technologies, or do you think we have more work to do before we are capable of improving the treatment of these patients?
We are using caplacizumab now in Colombia. We need to make it available to everybody, not only that's one population that go to the better hospital. And we need to improve our awareness, our ability to diagnose correctly and quickly the disease, and to use the medication. There is a program from Sanofi. They give for free the first doses of the medication, and we need to have the results quickly to continue with the medication. If the diagnosis is confirmed, then the system will pay for the medication, and the benefits of the medication is great. We have less hospitalization, less plasma exchange, less recurrence of the disease. The benefits are great for our patients. Then we need to work hard to have more patients diagnosed quickly and correctly, to start treatment with caplacizumab. I think we are prepared for it, and to follow up correctly this patient, because the recurrence is frequently, because it's the 95% is immune disease, and the immune disease have recurrence. We need to follow up the levels of ADAMTS13. And for recombinant 13, we don't have access here in Colombia. But if we have available this medication, maybe we can use it. But now we don't have available this technology.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we are ready to give our patients this new treatment, but we also need to improve the awareness of TTP among physicians, among general physicians, among neurologists, nephrologists, to increase TTP suspicion, TTP diagnosis, because I believe we do not diagnose a large amount of TTP cases here in Brazil, at least. I think it's very important to work on medical education and to have a sponsor for medical education, so then we can improve the diagnosis and we can improve the possibility of these patients to be referred to a central hospital and to receive appropriate treatment. And then when these patients arrive to our hospitals, which are specialized reference to hospitals, we here are capable of offering a urgent treatment. But before that, we have to work on medical education and also on laboratory diagnosis, because now we can do it because we've been sponsored by the industry. But without this sponsorship, this is going to be really hard for us at the beginning to provide laboratory diagnosis and also this new treatment. So, and I think it's really important. I think it's really important to have a local TTP registries too. We've been working in a Brazilian registry, and you were working in a Colombian registry too, aren't you?
Yes, and we need to work also in a practical guideline for diagnosis and treatment of TTP, a national guideline, because maybe in the big centers in Brazil, there is no problem because there are very very well trained hematologists. But in the province, it's more difficult to have access to this technology. And we need to, with the national guideline, we will have more information. More, it's easy for the hematologists to to follow the guideline and to get a right diagnosis and quickly diagnosis and to start the treatment correctly.
Yeah. Do you think, talking about guidelines, do you think the ISTH guideline is easily applied here in South America? Do you think it's not like fitted to our, it's not fit to our reality? What do you think?
We need to adopt, we need to make some, so there are some differences in Latin America, but at a whole, I think it's, we can apply, we can make some little modification, and not too big, and I think it works better, if it works better.
Yeah, I think it's applied to our reality too, because it shows different scenarios. So there's this top scenario when you have like a DMTS13 results in 24 hours, or even if you don't have at all a DMTS13, so you can, you know, fit yourself, your reality in three different scenarios. So I think the ISTH guidelines is easily applied here in Brazil too. And we are able to follow it, but I still think we have a lot to improve our TTP awareness and diagnosis before we are fully, completely capable of offering these new treatments. I think we have to work more on really diagnosing and having these patients referred to the reference hospitals to be treated adequately. So very nice. When the patient is discharged from the hospital, we follow this patient in our outpatient unit, and this patient is followed for the rest of his/her life, and we start seeing these patients. The visits occur every week in the first month, and then every month in the first semester, and then we see this patient every 6 months. And after 2 years, every year, but this patient is never free from medical visits. So we don't have a DMTS13 tests available for these patients who are seen in the outpatient unit. We just follow them with a clinical evaluation and also with a peripheral blood smear test, but we don't have a DMTS13 testing available for this chronic or these patients that are seen in the outpatient unit. So and actually what we are trying to see now, if these patients, they have chronic manifestations or chronic sequelae of TTP as neurological problems, as psychiatry problems, and this things that has been reported in patients with chronic follow-up. So that's what we are doing now for the patient who is in remission, but is kept like in our outpatient unit. So I'd like to know, how do you follow your patients after the patient is discharged from the hospital?
Yes, it's a very important point. We need to follow every patient with TTP. We are now in our creating a microangiopathy unit. We can follow all the microangiopathy entities, TTP one of these. And in the first month, we need to follow every week with tests. We are using the support from the industry to measure ADAM-13 levels because it can predict the recurrence of the disease. But as Fernanda mentioned, the other, the clinic, the peripheral, characterization of the cells, LDH, it's very important to know how the patient is behave. I think we need to follow for life. if it is congenital, the problem will be forever until we have a genetic therapy. Autoimmune, the autoimmune disease is incurable, and you have recurrence and how many months and recurrence, and we need to follow all life the patients.
So thank you. It was very nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Fernanda.